Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today's Thursday, January 16th. We're back after a few days off because I've been sick. And as you can hear, I'm still recovering. But I think I'm beyond the point where it's bad, you know.
You now sound like a raspy jazz singer.
Yeah, like Rod Stewart or something, right?
Oh, man.
The raspiest of them all.
Welcome back to us all.
Yeah. So how have you been?
Good. I'm a little sad. We've wrapped production. We have a couple more pickup days that we don't know when, but yeah, we wrapped production.
Withdrawals.
Yeah, yesterday I woke up and I was like, what am I supposed to do today? Like, what is my life? What do I even do outside of being on that film?
Well, there'll be another one coming, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. But it was good. I went shopping.
Oh, okay.
I was like, yeah.
That's important.
I know. It was very important. I needed a day. Needed a day for it.
Very cool. So we do have a guest in the studio today. If you want to watch us, you can go on Facebook, LA Talk Radio's page, and you'll see us there. And we're going to get to her in just a moment. I did want to bring up that Clear Channel, well, they're not Clear Channel anymore. They're iHeartRadio. Announced that they're laying off 850 people, mostly like local talent from local radio stations. And
does that mean they're going downhill?
What's that?
Does that mean they're going downhill?
Pretty much. They're already going downhill.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, you know, nobody really listens to radio anymore, you know? It's like they listen to streaming stuff like ours, you know, and Spotify and all that stuff.
Podcasts. And
right. So, and then a lot of radio is music, you know, so they figure who needs DJs anymore, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So
that's a bummer.
Yeah, you know, it really is, but because there's some good local shows, you know, funny stuff.
Yeah, and you know it's got to come to a certain point for them to have to lay off that many people at once.
Right.
You know, like there's been something they've been avoiding for a while.
Right, exactly, you know. Yeah. And what happens is they can't afford to pay the talent anymore because the revenues from the advertising don't really cover everything, you know.
Sure.
So it's just people are not, or companies are not paying to be on, to advertise on radio.
Sure. You know?
So sucks. We're glad we have our station because
we're
different,
good.
You know.
Yeah.
We don't have to rely on that bullshit.
Definitely.
So, Yeah. So that's the thing, and there was one more thing, but I totally forgot. What do you think of the Meghan Markle thing? Do you think she's right doing this?
I mean, breaking up the
royal family, that's essentially what she's doing.
I mean, it's not just her. He has every say in the world as well.
That's true, but usually the women have a say.
Well, they that's the man's fault for being weak.
Yeah,
so.
Right? I know. That's true. That makes sense.
You know, it takes two to tango. He could put his foot down. He could leave her. He could.
Right.
I mean, apparently people were threatening her the way that his mom had been threatened before she was killed.
Really?
Yeah. And that's apparently one of the reasons why he stepped down is because he said something like, they killed my mom. They're not going to kill my wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to find out more about this. I'm sure the truth will come out one day.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Some truth.
Yeah.
Some sort of answer, at least.
I remember the day when John Lennon announced he's leaving the Beatles because of Yoko Ono, you know, who was the...
Also weak.
Yeah.
Weak choice.
Weak choice. You don't leave the fucking Beatles, you know.
I mean, he's also John Lennon. He can do whatever he wants. He
exactly.
already had a name at that point.
And he was in love, you know. What are you gonna do, you know?
Yeah.
People fall in love, they do crazy things.
Yeah, love makes you crazy.
Yeah. Absolutely, love makes you crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And they say that less sex may mean earlier menopause, a study says. So
really,
yeah. So you guys need to catch some more sex in your.
Oh boy!
In your life,
immediately
lives, you know?
Hide my hands. I'm like, I gotta go.
Do men reach menopause?
No, God, that's another thing that women have to do that men don't have to do. Right. You know, the list just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. It's the song that never ends.
It's still so tough.
I know. Guys are like, yeah, but we get unsolicited boners in public. I'm like, that's cool. I'm like, you guys don't even hate that, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard a thing I heard a thing that said women have their period for 7 years out of their life.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm really?
7 years. Collectively, yeah. Right. They also say that what was the other one? It was something about LA traffic. It said you spend like 2 weeks of your life per year in traffic in LA.
Right, right.
I had to go to LAX yesterday. My friend is in town from London. He's a filmmaker, and I had an audition with him. And I had to drive from Woodland Hills because they're exterminating my apartment because my building's a hot mess right now. But so I've been staying at a friend's house in Woodland Hills, and it said an hour and 20 minutes. And it ended up taking me an hour and 45 minutes to get to LAX.
Wow.
It only took me 30 minutes to get home. Well, actually, like 50, because I went for 20 minutes in the wrong direction.
Well, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, it was so bad. I had to pee the whole time, too. I was in the car like...
I know, that's one thing about driving and being stuck on the freeway like that.
It's like the only shitty thing about LA.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. My friend called me and was like, is the traffic really that bad? And I'm like, it's everything anyone has ever said to you about it and worse.
Right.
Like, truly.
Without bathrooms on the way.
Yeah, no bathrooms. I know, it's like, you're going to try and get off at an exit, and now you're on a different highway and you have to drive another few exits on that highway to get to a gas station.
Right, yeah. Well, welcome to LA. Everybody.
I know, right? Just keep diapers in the car or something.
Right. And apparently our guest is also new to town, so we're going to introduce her right now. We're joined by Kim Peterson. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
My fellow New Yorker.
Right here.
Oh, so you're from New York too?
I'm not originally from New York. I'm from Trinidad. I was born and raised there.
Went to
school there.
Amazing.
And then it's called secondary school, equivalent to high school. And then I went to New York for college.
Awesome.
You know, I'm from right outside of Philly, and they have one of my best friends in high school. Her stepdad's from Trinidad.
Yeah.
And we used to go to the Trinidad Festival.
Yeah, Carnival.
Yeah.
Which is coming up very soon. Which I wouldn't be there for.
So much fun.
But it's kind of it's in alignment with Brazil's Carnival, except I'm biased because I think it's way better, but
of course, right? Yeah.
So I went to school in New York, and then I stayed.
Wow. So being growing up in Trinidad is pretty exciting. What was your childhood like there? Did you like it?
It's only until I left that I realized how amazing it really is.
Really?
So my mom and my sister still live there, so I go back pretty frequently. Growing up there, what is it like? Well, the school system is really different.
Yeah.
So I went to an all-girls Catholic school that... it's a little ratchet for sure. but it was good. The education system, they follow the British system, so it's pretty good. And it was just a lot of, outdoor time, a lot of beach time.
That's fun.
Yeah. It's a small island. It's one of the bigger islands, but in comparison to anything in the U.S., it's very small. And when I was living there, I was like, this is way too small. Everybody's doing the same thing. The three places everyone goes, and I really wanted to leave when I was younger.
So the United States is obviously the place to go, which is so much bigger.
Yeah, it has a lot more opportunity for sure. It's growing now. Everyone says it's a third world island, but when you go there, it's really they provide 1/8 of the world's oil, so it's a pretty wealthy island, so it's not really a third world country. So it's beautiful, it is beautiful. It's lovely. I miss it.
Is it in the tropics? I mean, is that what kind of a climate you get there?
It's right off the coast of Venezuela, so it's right off the coast of South America. It's the most southern island in the Caribbean. And it's a melting pot of ethnicities.
So people actually move there too, would you say?
People move there. You tend to get people moving there for work, if they're in oil and gas. and stuff like that, you'll tend to get people moving there. Right. My mom is actually Arabic. So there's a pretty big Arabic population down there.
Really?
I say down there because it's like south, wherever. Yeah, so there's a pretty big Lebanese and Syrian population there.
Lebanese.
Mm-hmm.
I love Lebanese food.
And yeah.
Always go with the food, right?
Yeah, they tend to, you know, marry within, keep the money flowing within. But my mother married outside of the culture. So,
okay.
What's Trinidadian food like?
The cuisine is very East Indian based.
Okay.
So a lot of spices, curries, and stuff like that.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. You don't meet a lot of people from there. So
there's not a lot out here in LA. There's a few, but not many.
Yeah.
So you made the move to New York from Trinidad, right?
I made the move.
How old were you at the time?
So I was really young. I moved when I was about 15.
Alone?
Well, initially I had my sister in the U.S. She's older than me. So she was in the U.S. and I went to stay with her first and then,
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted a big career in a big country.
Yeah, I actually went to school and I got my degrees in environmental engineering.
Wow.
I know.
Very How cool. did you get involved in that?
I know, it's so wild.
So random, right?
It's so random. I think like growing up on the island, like the environment, it was always a big part of keeping the waters clean, the turtles, this, that, and the other.
Yeah,
anything
really important
that impacts the environment was a big part of my life growing up. And I got into Columbia University and they said, pick a major. And I was like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I love the environment. And they had opened up an environmental department. So I was like, I'll go in that direction.
Yeah.
And I kind of just
stayed. Are you happy you did?
I am. I learned so much, and I have so much more appreciation for everything that's going on in the world,
right?
And compassion, because we don't really get a sense of how, not to sound cynical, of how bad things really are, because the news is projecting a bit, but take that and times it by 10. So if not more. Yeah.
Well, people always predicted the end of the world, you know, so I'm not scared, but you know, whatever. I mean, the world has never been where it is today. So that's true, you know.
And the thing is, but I think that the world can heal itself. I just don't think people care enough. I think, you know, being surrounded by the luxuries that we're surrounded by, especially somewhere like America or like any first world country, we're not really faced with the same things that other places are where there's, you know, I mean, like, I go to the beach in Jersey or the beach here, and I barely see any trash washing up on shore, but there are places where trash is overflowing. I mean, and
you look at the New York Sound, they dump everything there, like, our air quality, our
Definitely.
Water quality, our, even, like, poaching and deforestation.
Of course.
And look at the fires, and it's just endless. It really is endless. I could go on for it.
And fishing.
The oil industry is killing everything.
Right. Yeah. I've worked in restaurants where the chefs have opened up a fish and there's actual plastic inside the fish.
Really?
Like in the fish's stomach.
Wow.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of beautiful things as well.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Not to come on your show and be Miss Cynical all of a sudden.
No.
That's okay. We won't let you bring the show down.
Yeah.
So I really loved getting the opportunity to get to study that and then pursue the arts alongside. Because I never knew what I really wanted. You know, when you leave the Caribbean and you're from like a traditional family, it's like you go be a doctor, you go be a lawyer, you go be a...
The traditional stuff.
Yeah, it's not like you go be an actor or...
Right.
What is that?
My
family has gone through so much, like my mom's family coming from Syria and then the island life, that I was like, you know what, I'm going to get a real job,
right?
You know, my degrees and
so did you do anything with it? What did you do after school?
Well, while I was in school, I got a job working with a firm doing research. So I was working while I was alongside school and getting a bit of the corporate life to see what that's like. And
realized you hate it.
realize I hated it.
Yeah, corporate's wrong.
Because there's so much bullshit associated with it. Like,
yeah.
I stuck with it in order to pursue the arts as well. So when I was done with those degrees, I was like, Mom, these are your degrees. You wanted these degrees. You could look at them every day, put them on your bedroom wall and smile. I did my part. Right. I'm going to do what I want to do now.
Right.
And she was supportive. So.
And the arts you studied there too in Colombia?
So I did, I was always kind of in, even in Trinidad, I was doing gymnastics and dance and I knew I kind of wanted to express myself. I just didn't know how. I know I can't sing.
But so, you could dance.
But I could dance. And I started in the dancing world. And then I remember I had a boyfriend at the time in college. And he goes, wow, when you get upset, it's like you represent every woman on your island. You should go take an acting class. And I was like, oh, acting class.
That's amazing.
So,
what was your first acting class?
It was with a woman, Susan Batson, in New York, and it's an acting conservatory, and I stayed there for about a year and a half, 2 years, living in that studio and just honing a craft.
Yeah, I see here in your notes, you have a lot of, different types of dance, like Brazilian Zouk. What's that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so when I was a little, this is interesting. When I was a little girl, there was a movie that came out, and I later found out it was by an Israeli director that went to Brazil, and he saw a style of dance called Lambada.
Uh-huh.
And then when I was really young, I must have been like 7 or 8 or maybe 6, I don't know, I saw this movie, and it was called Lambada, the Forbidden Dance. And every time it would come on, I would start to like dance with it. And then when I got to New York, I went out, and I saw someone doing the same style of dance, but I didn't know what I was seeing at the time. I just remembered, like, when I was a little girl, seeing that movement and always wanting to learn it. And it's called Brazilian Zouk.
Uh-huh.
And it's a small community that's expanding. And it's kind of like, it's a Latin dance. It's bachata mixed with salsa. It's a little bit more sultry. The music is different. The steps are different. And then I just kind of immersed myself in that community.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
So now, what's a song? Can we find like a song that you could dance it to? Can you think of anything?
Oh my god.
I mean, because I want to know what kind of
music
and dance.
There's a. If you Google or YouTube Lambada.
Lambada. Okay.
Hold on. Let me see if I could.
Lambada dance, Lambada remix.
Lambada.
Let's do dance, no?
Do Lambada. Okay, K-A-O-M-A dash Lambada. I don't know how to say that. Kaoma. This is like blasphemy to the community.
Kaoma Lambada, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's listen to that. I'm really curious. What kind of a dance is this?
Today.
Because you said it's...
Lebanad.
Yeah. Because you said it was like Brazilian type, right? Oh, I love this thing. Yeah.
This is very traditional.
Yeah? I like it, man.
It's nice, right?
Yeah,
it's
really...
I remember when I saw that, I was like... Hell, I gotta learn this.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And then I had... he became my boyfriend at one point from Brazil that taught this dance in New York. And I was like, well, I'm definitely dating you.
Right. Wow.
And it didn't work out, but we're good friends.
So this is dance you gotta do with a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's progressive now. Girls dance with girls. You see guys dancing with guys.
Yeah, anything goes.
But there's always...
You need a partner. Though.
Yeah, there's always a follow... Right. And a lead, like someone who's leading it and someone who's following it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And it's typically male and female, but there's like, you know, some girls that dance with girls.
I like dances like that, you know. I mean, this is probably going in Dancing with the Stars and stuff, right?
I think it's going to get there.
Really?
Like, when I went to Europe, it's so big in Europe.
Really?
In Amsterdam, because I think it's because, I think, I may be wrong, like, they don't need the restrictions on their visas and stuff for Brazilians to go to Europe is different. So there's a lot of Brazilians in Europe, and they just kind of, like, share their culture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they start these schools, and then the Europeans learn, and they learn everything quickly, and it's just spreading very quickly there.
Very nice.
Yeah. I love that.
So what else can you dance? Salsa, right?
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm not that good at it anymore.
I'm sure you can pick it right back up.
I used to be good at it.
Do you still practice dancing?
I recently started back taking some. There's one person I know out here from New York that dances Zouk, and I've connected with him, and I've been starting to get back into it now. But it's been... this entire move from New York to LA, it was a lot for me. It was a big transition.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine.
Everything, financially, emotionally, everything. So,
the whole thing. Yeah,
the whole thing. So, right. I took a little break.
Well, how long were you in New York?
I was in New York about 7-8 years.
7-8 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 2020 would be...
So you got used to it for a while, but then you decided...
Yeah.
Where did you say you live there?
Where did I not live is a better question. But I lived mostly all around Manhattan. And then the last few years I lived in Midtown area.
Oh, okay.
Which is Hudson Yards. It's Hudson Yards now.
Yeah.
They're developing a huge project over there.
They are.
If it's not already developed.
Yeah.
It's the new financial district that's on the west side of the...
I love FIDI.
Yeah.
That's where I wanted to live. I was in Washington Heights, but...
FIDI is underrated. They don't realize how great it really is.
It's... everyone's at nighttime, it's a dead zone. I'm like, that's why I want to live there. I don't want to hear anyone outside at night.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to sleep, I'd rather not.
I agree. And then you can get everywhere because all the subway stations are there.
Right.
I know, all of them. Then you have the Fulton Station, which has every line ever. It's amazing. And it's beautiful. It's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only nice-looking thing in New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice to know. So you chose L.A.
So I chose L.A. I was kind of... well, you know, this current president cut the environmental budget.
How amazing.
I won't go there. But I was kind of feeling very stagnant. And it's not like I was in a relationship. I have a cat. That's great.
Yeah.
I was
cat people unite.
Right?
Love it.
And I was what am I doing?
It's funny. You know, I'm sorry for a second, but you talk about cats.
I love cats.
My daughter she got a new cat, a new kitten. So she put up a video of it just jumping off of the ground, you know, seeing itself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And jumping, and she wrote down, "My cat is broken."
My cat, he actually pees in the toilet. I know
that's really?
My brother's cat does
and
that.
And I've never taught him. I didn't even know that was a possibility. Started going.
Oh, yeah. My brother did the whole litter training where you put the circular litter box on top of the toilet seat and then... you switch out the seat for one that has more of a hole, more of a hole, more of a hole until eventually you don't need it.
I had a roommate. I got this cat and then I had a roommate and I'd just gotten out of a relationship. Me and my relationships. Anyways, so the roommate was like, I know we don't know each other, but can you please flush the toilet when you use it? And I was like, that's weird. Am I not?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a weird thing. That's just weird all around.
Right.
And
right.
I was like, oh my God, am I that heartbroken and devastated that I'm just not flushing the toilet? it's weird. And so 3 months later, she said the same thing to me. And I was like, I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm sorry. It didn't dawn on me that the cat was intermittently using the toilet and leaving his
Who else
stuff.
Would it be?
Oh my
God.
Who
else? It wouldn't be the cat. So then one day I caught him. I heard psst. And I was like, who's in my bathroom? And I pushed the bathroom door open and I saw him in the toilet. And then about 2 months after that, he fully transitioned to using the toilet.
Really?
But the cat set me up. I thought something was going on with me that I wasn't capable of flushing the toilet.
Were you so excited to tell your roommate?
I videoed it and I sent it to her and I was like, let me show you something.
Yeah. Oh my God. What did your roommate say?
She's like, this is unreal.
That's funny.
This is unreal.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah.
So kids can do crazy things.
Yeah. My brother walks us on a leash and takes him everywhere. And
I know. I don't want to become a cat lady, though. I really don't.
You know, I have such a problem with that because you could have five dogs and it's not weird, but you have one cat and you're a weird cat lady.
If you have one cat and you're single, all of a sudden you're like...
You're a weird cat lady. And no, I just... Cats are independent. If anything, look, I love dogs. Mm-hmm. But if anyone's weird, it's dog people because they're the ones that need that instant gratification and that thing to love them immediately.
I couldn't agree with you more.
With cats are like people. Cats are like people. They're like, I don't know you yet. Let's see how this goes. I might let you touch me.
Yeah.
You know?
I completely agree with that.
Like, but also feed me and scoop my poop. And when people say they have a problem, you're like, yeah, you have to scoop the litter box. I'm like,
you have to pick
at least
up dog
I'm
shit.
Not putting a bag over my hand to pick up a fresh, soft, warm one off the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
So did you do any acting? I mean, you've got quite a resume here, and you're just starting out pretty much, right?
I did some stuff. I started off doing a lot of theater stuff.
Yeah.
And that was great. Like, I've learned a lot through that. And then a TV show. I did some small stuff on television. And then I did this. I got into production as well.
Oh, nice.
And I had a project that was like 2 weeks into pre-production, and then someone pulled the funding, so that was great. And then I did James Franco was looking for unnamed talent at the time, and he picked a group of people to develop a film, help with the development of the film, and then shoot it.
Right.
And I don't know what's going on with that, to be honest. Like,
really? Did you become part of it?
Yeah. I was in it. I was a lead in it. It's this thriller horror film, and I have my footage, which is great. I just don't know what they're planning to do with it. So it's kind of on ice, I think, for now. But I was like, at least I got my footage.
That's
yeah,
a pain,
for sure.
Though, right?
Yeah. It is
that
for
sucks.
Sure.
Because you go through so much. You know, you go through a right. process of.
Oh my
doing
gosh.
All this stuff to get it done.
Right.
And then, yeah.
So many projects you never actually even see the footage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, hello.
But it was a great learning experience.
Yeah.
So you decided to move to LA by yourself?
Yeah, I picked up my cat.
Really? had you been here before? Did you know
I had
what you were moving
here,
to?
I had been here once before for 2 days. So I really didn't have, like, a sense of LA.
Right.
Of course, my family was just like, have you lost your mind? You're going to do what? You went to school for what? Where are you going?
Like, right.
And I was like, yep, bye guys.
Yeah.
And I actually had to like, my sisters like bless them, but I had to tell them, I was like, you need to stop calling me for 3 weeks and let me like focus on this move because you're distracting me from, because right. they were like scared, you know, what are you going to do?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so many of those
stuff. Yeah.
conversations.
Making it only difficult for you when you try to be
yeah.
positive.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I didn't know LA. Like, I don't have a lot of people here that I know. And,
right.
But what ended up, it's funny when you say things aloud, how it could actually manifest. Because I remember saying in May, I'm going to move to LA. And I spoke to my manager and he's out here and he's like, I think this would be a good move for you. And as I said that, I met this girl through a mutual friend, and she's in LA, and she's like, I think I want to move to New York.
Really?
So I was like, you know, 2 weeks later we reached out to each other, and she's like, I have a place, you could take over my spot and my car. And I was like, great, looks like I'm moving to LA sooner than I thought. So I was supposed to move in I was thinking like maybe move like for January of 2020, but then everything kind of happened so fast.
Right.
I got my apartment in New York rented out, someone took over the lease, and it just happened. Like, I thought I was going to incrementally come here, feel out the different, you know, areas. And
right, the stars aligned.
Yeah, but there was just like, no, go.
Yeah.
Life was like, go, get out of here. And, yeah.
Good, so you jumped in and made the move.
I made the move and been doing good. I got out here and I did a film in New Mexico for about 3 weeks, and then they shot in Mexico City for a week.
Oh. So, and you got an agent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that how you mostly get your work?
My work? Yeah. It's through my agent and my manager and my own hustle.
Right.
And grind.
Yeah. Not easy, right? You arrive here, you realize there's already a lot of people trying to do the same thing you are.
Yeah, it's a super saturated industry. And so, like, you can't.
Did you know that before you came here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How could you not know it, you know?
I mean, New York is also a pretty, I think New York and L.A., New York, L.A., Atlanta, Chicago's coming up within the acting world that is, you'll get a good gauge of what it's like living there. You know, L.A. tends to be a lot bigger, and then New York is right behind it, and Atlanta is booming as well with acting jobs and stuff like that. So I knew what I was getting myself into. However, I was like, it would be to my own personal, not detriment, but like my own personal miss if I didn't give myself a chance to try it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. You'd always wonder.
I'd always kind of wonder, and I don't want to, you know, when I say to people, oh, yeah, I moved to LA for acting, I get the eye rolls. Oh, great, you're one of those. And
totally.
You know, but like, I remember, so my dad passed, and I remember the last thing he kind of said to me was like, my life happens so fast, Kim. And ever since he said that, I was like, I'm just going to try everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would just fearlessly just go for it. And or if I am scared, just power through it.
Yeah.
It does happen fast.
Yeah, and I don't want to just, I mean, I'm just going to give it a shot, give it my best shot and do all the things. And maybe something else might open up that I fall in love with.
Exactly. Totally. You never know.
Never know. Like, I never thought living in Trinidad that I would get to go to a great school and study this and you know, get to do a James Franco film and then do this. I just never thought any of those things would ever happen.
Right.
And it happens. Yeah. So it's kind of
you don't want to write it off before you even try.
Yeah, it's like step on each stepping stone and see which direction you have to step on next.
Right.
Yeah, and so I'm just kind of going with the flow.
Yeah. Cool. And have you been finding boyfriends here?
No boyfriends.
Okay, because you seem like to have a lot of them. So
No. I've had like two relationships in my life, like two main relationships.
Really?
Yeah. But here, LA is a seductive place. You know, like everything is seductive about it in comparison to New York. I don't mean in people. I mean like environment and everything. Oh, yeah. Like it's just, I get that's just the word that comes to my head, like seductive.
It's a good word for it. There's not much seductive about New York.
No, there's nothing seductive about New York.
You just like have a homeless guy like taking a crap on the street behind you at all times.
I mean, yeah, there's like homeless people. I got peed on one time. That's another story.
Really?
I was walking out of the subway station, and he was like above the stairs, and he was peeing on everyone, and I thought it was rain, and I was
God.
And it was in the dead of summer, and I was like, oh, a mist, water. Little did I know, as I walked up, I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
just a regular day in New York.
Regular day. But yeah, LA is seductive. Boyfriends, let's see. I've gone on like a couple dates.
Right.
But I'm not trying to like get into anything.
And yeah. You don't need the distraction.
How do you meet people? Do you go out and stuff?
Yeah. You know, I've been doing some event planning work out here and just like acting class and meeting people through people through people through people. Like,
totally.
Yeah. It's just, just meeting people through
now,
people.
Now, how are you? You know, when I moved here, everyone would always say, be careful of LA people. They're so different and they're always going to try and like undercut you and this and that. Like, how are you finding that?
I can see how that could be, but I feel like there's that exists in New York as well, you know? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
If you're discerning enough to kind of see what angle someone has, you can avoid those. But yeah, I mean, LA definitely has a hard hustle mentality.
Yeah.
Sure.
That has a smile on its face.
Totally. No, so, I appreciate that.
So like, you know, everyone is kind of like angling something but I've met some really wonderful people here.
Cool.
And I've been, yeah.
Very nice. So you don't feel, do you feel alone here sometimes? Or?
I mean,
you've been here for a while, right? How many months?
About 5 months.
Oh, okay. So that's still short.
I feel really, I know I don't want to be in New York and I know I want to be here. I feel like I haven't grounded myself. Like sometimes I'm like, am I here?
It takes a while.
Yeah.
I feel like
I think because I'm trying to like get everything going and moving and I got that mentality from living on the East Coast. Like, we don't take days off. Like, I know, LA, there's a lot of days off.
Really?
I feel like, which is something I'm working on, like, my patience and understanding the culture here and being like, all right, it's not going to happen. There's, you know.
It's not now.
It's not now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, why is the industry shut down until January 6th? Why?
Right.
Because I used to work, like, all the time, you know.
Through the holidays and everything.
Yeah, through the holidays. I used to work December 24th, come back to work December 27th if it wasn't on a weekend. So, like, I wasn't accustomed to.
Yeah. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else have you done? You done some TV, too?
Yeah, a little TV. This film I just recently did, it's called The Lady of Guadalupe. I never saw myself doing a religious film. It's like the it's the Mary version of the Passion of Christ, pretty much. And they had a premiere at the Regal. So I got here, and 3 weeks later, I found out I booked it.
Ah.
And so they sent us to New Mexico for 3 weeks to shoot it, and then we did Mexico City. And it's a really great story, and I learned a lot about that history of Mother Mary, Lady of Guadalupe, Juan Diego, and that whole thing. There's a built-in market for it because she's such an iconic figure in the Latin community and the Caribbean community that when we were in Mexico shooting it, people would just swarm us because they knew that we were shooting this film. And like, there's this place called the Basilica that we shot at in Mexico. And people go and they light their candles for the Lady of Guadalupe and, like, ask for her blessings and stuff like that. And such a different thing. I've never seen anything like that. Like, they're so faith-based.
Yeah.
And they had a premiere at the Regal, when was it, last month? They're releasing it in April, but they did have a premiere at the Regal LA. And it did really well. I mean, I think they're making a few tweaks to the film and they're going to re-release it. But it's been good.
There's a pretty big Hispanic community here that would probably be
massive.
Attracted to this movie.
Massive, yeah. I didn't know that. And we had the directors, this guy named Pedro Brenner. And the lead actor is like a celebrity in Mexico. He's a Mexican celebrity. Like, everybody
now, was this
him.
English speaking or was that in Spanish?
All English.
Really?
Yeah. So it's cool because it was half period, half contemporary. So, it was.
So you liked it?
Yeah, I loved it. I wasn't sure at the beginning, but then when I read the script and I got to understand the story, I was like, "Oh, this is a good one."
Yeah.
I'm grateful to get it.
Very nice. Yeah. And I see you got a lot of training.
Mm-hmm.
You've done some studying.
Right now, I'm studying with a teacher called Annie Crinley, and I like love her to pieces. I love her. She's amazing.
I guess you never stop learning, huh?
Yeah, I feel like for me, acting is like this invisible muscle that I kind of have to keep working out.
Yeah, right.
Oh, for sure.
I can't stop. It's like going to the gym.
Yeah.
Because you're not working all the time, so the only time you really get to do it is if you're in a class or if, you know.
Right.
If I was working 24/7, I wouldn't have to be in the class, but
right. So are you interested in more than just acting? I mean, you said production.
Yeah, I have a production company. It's called Pretty Penny Films.
Oh, really?
Because it takes a pretty penny to make a film.
Yeah.
Literally. And we have a couple of things that we are in development. It's in the very beginning phases of it. I used to work for another production company and learning about the cradle to grave process of film finance to production to distribution. And then my best friend and I, we grew up in Trinidad together. We were just like, we both went into that company. She worked at Ernst & Young, which is like an accounting firm or whatever.
Right.
And she worked in the film division. And so we kind of like merged forces and
yeah,
we started our own thing with one other partner. Yeah.
Very cool.
I love that. It's nice to have a buddy.
It's great to have someone that you can fully trust that knows has your back matter what.
Right. And you can be open and honest with. And
you don't have to worry about drama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know.
Because I've been through it when you're in a situation. It's like a marriage. Like having a working relationship is like a marriage with someone.
For sure.
You know, like It's gotta be compatible, and yeah,
it does.
That's true.
And if
right?
you're in a bad marriage, you're screwed. If you're in a bad working relationship, you're screwed as well.
That's true. Yeah,
I know.
For a long time,
it's just nice to have someone in your corner that's no bullshit.
Yeah, and I've known this girl. Like, we grew up in Trinidad together. We moved to the U.S. together. She's solid.
I love that.
Is she here too?
She's in New York, and I'm here. Okay. And we both left our jobs at the same time.
Really?
Yeah. Her family, she's half Syrian, half Lebanese. Her family was just like, what are you doing? I hope you're not following Kim in her crazy footsteps.
I know, it always seems crazy unless something like big happens, and then everyone's like, oh yeah, I always believed in her.
Right.
You know.
So you say there's a large Arab community in Trinidad?
Yeah.
What attracts them to
Trinidad?
Trinidad, yeah.
So there was, there's a huge Christian Syrian Lebanese population that was ostracized years ago, like my grandfather's time, from the Islamic regime. And basically a bunch of them, they wanted to leave, and they said they were going to send them to the Americas. What my grandfather at the time didn't know was that they meant South America. And when they tried to cross border control into South America, they wouldn't let them in. So they left them on the island closest off of South America, which is Trinidad. Yeah. Mm. It's a really interesting story.
Yeah, it is an interesting story.
Yeah.
When did that happen? When did it start happening?
Oh, my God.
What, 50 years ago or more?
I want to say a little bit more.
Really?
Maybe about 50. A little bit more than that. Yeah. Actually, maybe 70 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So that's when your family or your dad was?
My grandfather.
Oh, your grandfather.
My Arabic side is my mother's side.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
My Very dad cool. is a mix of all kinds of stuff.
And did you learn to cook nice things?
God, I'm selling out myself. I want to say that I could. But if you ask my family, they will say that I can't.
Yeah.
But my mom
just enjoy eating it.
I love it, yeah. She's in town right now, and she's just been cooking up a storm.
Oh, nice. That's so good.
You.
Yeah, so she's heading back to Trinidad on Friday.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man, I feel like when I go home to visit or my mom comes to visit me, she's like, what are you cooking me?
Yeah, right.
And it's like, you do it.
And like every Islanders, Trinis for short, like has, a lot of them have a fascination with like big wholesale places like Costco. Mm. So I cannot tell you how many times I've been to Costco within like 2 weeks. I was just like, I was at Costco yesterday. I was like, Mom, what do we need? Why are we here again?
I know. It's funny when people come to visit town, they just like to go shopping.
Yeah.
You know?
And I am just
everywhere. Like,
God, it's such an excuse. I remember going to Paris when my sister lived there, and I spent, I think, like, I blew to like $2,000 on like espresso.
I'm just like, what am I? I messaged my friend. I was like, I'm in Costco again. Like, I was just like, this is like my fifth time.
And she's like, going to leave and you're going to be about to make something. You're going to go, shit, I got to go to Costco.
I know. I was like,
but you probably will have everything by then, you know, from
I have
Costco.
Too much. I don't even know how to put this stuff. Exactly. I have bulk toilet paper.
Yes.
I have like.
Is she going to take this with her or what?
No, she's like, you're going to need this. I'm like, for Armageddon, like for
right, for the next 12 years.
How much toilet paper do I need right now? I have nowhere to put it.
Yeah. I guess it's the experience of going shopping, you know.
Well, that's the thing about LA is we actually have closets here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, we have places to put things. In New York, you would just hide the toilet paper under your bed or something.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's so small?
I used to have Bounty.
Yeah.
Bounty rolls and toilet paper all under my bed.
Yeah, all of your supplies in the bed. And yeah.
But she's just trying to be a good mom and doing the good mom stuff, mama bear stuff.
Yeah.
Buy me everything and stock up for.
It's the best.
So I can't complain.
Very cool. So you guys are close, you and your mom?
My mom and my sisters. I have two sisters.
Right.
We're very close.
Are they older?
Both? Yeah, older. One's in Trinidad with mom, and then the other one's in Florida.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay. Mom moves around. Like, right. After here, she's going to go see the one in Florida, and then she's going to go back to Trinidad, and then oh, she's nice. Going to probably come back here, and she's just like a gypsy right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope she's having fun.
She is. She's living her best life right now.
Yeah. Well, cool, Kim. What's in store for you now? Are you working on anything new?
Just auditioning, right. And working on this production company.
Right.
We have one script in development. It's like a thriller, psychological thriller based on a modern day classical tale, and
it's favorite.
Integrating a lot of what the current social climate is right now, so it's interesting. That's almost done, and we're gonna start building that project, and then still pursuing the acting is my heart, so going for that. And
good. Yeah, just be